The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do with those stories, Jake?
Oh, we use those stories as inspiration for long-form improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. It's a hoot. We have a Patreon with a Discord channel and a weekly bonus episode Jake and I do where we talk shop. If you're interested in that, check out patreon.com/themeatimprov. And let's get the show started. Today, we have two very special guests, teammates of mine, in theory now, I guess, but for years on the Teacher's Lounge show at the UCB, and parts of great teams in their own right. Let's introduce one at a time. Monica Smith, welcome Hello. Aboard.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being on. A little overdue, honestly. Our second guest, I just gave everyone's introduction, but you know, we'll introduce him again. It's Mike Leffingwell.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Welcome, Mike.
Delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you.
So this is getting meta right away, but how set up are you two in like your Zoom headquarters? I know it's not the most fascinating thing, but like, do you have like, is it routine now? Do you do enough of it? We're like, I don't know.
I don't talk to hardly anybody over Zoom, honestly. So, but yeah, it's pretty straightforward when I do it. I just use my old phone's headphones.
Oh, there you go.
My laptop.
How about you, Monica? You seem like you got a situation there.
I have a little setup. I go in my closet and it's bright and it's away from any noise. Because I'm probably on Zoom almost every day. Probably like 5 days a week at this point.
Is that work or just catching up with people or?
I teach this thing called improv.
I used to do that.
Yeah, right. You remember that? So I have like workshops that I do via Zoom, and then I have a trivia night once a week, and that's through Zoom. So yeah,
is that like a bar trivia type thing, but just over Zoom?
It is. It's a group of bar trivia people. Improviser Will McLaughlin invited me in like April. And I was I'm not doing it.
Bar patron, Will McLaughlin.
Yes. Bar patron and improviser, right? And I joined. And yeah, so it's like once a week and we get into teams and then we message our answers to each other and like we can all see each other.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's been, you know, especially when this whole quarantine first started, it was nice to be like, I have a schedule.
Yeah.
I have this thing.
How do you like teaching over improv over Zoom? I have not done that, but I've heard people say it's not as bad as they thought it would be.
I don't think it's as bad. I think the benefits are people who are a little bit uncomfortable in their bodies or a little bit nervous in new surroundings, that anxiety is gone because you're in your home and you feel a little bit safer. So I feel like in that regard, people are stretching their muscles that perhaps would take a little bit longer in class.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's some benefits. Object work is a thing, right? Or physicality, like getting to know each other. I think the group bonding is a little bit harder because it's just like, hey, what's up behind you? A plant? Like there's no, there's not the same connection.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What about you guys? How is your Zoom setup?
I just got the mic, you know, I realize in retrospect, that's a boring question, but, this is it, you know, I got a little station here, sort of a comfortable chair. You two have two, like, just from what I know about you, like Mike, you're quarantining like with family, right? Yes. So you're like constantly around people. And Monica, you're at least in the beginning, we're by yourself, right?
I still live alone.
I figured. I just didn't.
I got married, had a baby, been a few months. I feel like it's a Jake. I don't know. I know Josh lives with his lady. I don't know your situation.
I'm also living alone. Yes.
Okay, so
I never thought to ask Jake.
It is different. I have a dog, though, and as much as I do think it makes a difference.
Oh, for
sure.
It makes a difference. Jake, you have a cat?
I have a cat, yeah. Cat makes a huge difference. I've also got plants. I acquired plants during quarantine, which has been nice.
Me too.
I went from two, and then I talked to people about getting plants. And since then, two people have given me more plants. So now I have, my neighbors are moving out and they saw I had plants and they're like, do you want more plants? I was like, okay. And then somebody I coach was like, I see you got plants. You want more plants? So now I went from zero plants to five plants.
Now it's all anyone talks about with you apparently. It's like, oh, you have plants.
Finally an in. That almost sounds like there's like peer, almost like a peer pressure, like a situation with plants. Not so much whatever, but who knew? People came out of the woodwork for that kind of
thing. I know. Who knew?
Yeah. What is it about? We don't have any plants in the house, but we have some plants in our yard that I water like once a week, and I find watering it very relaxing.
Okay.
How is it for you just with plants in the house?
I don't know. I mean, the watering it isn't relaxing because I'm always like, I got like one of those little meters to make sure I'm not overwatering it or underwatering it. So it's become like I'm still like feeling it out. But it is just kind of nice to like wake up in the morning and be like, oh, it's a little like it's green in here. It feels a little more lively. And then Lemon eats the plants and then we get into fights about it because she'll eat a plant and then throw up the plant. And then I'll try and explain that, like, if you don't eat the plant, you are not going to throw up, but she's a cat and I'm insane. And we just repeat that cycle every few days.
That's nature.
That's nature.
Do you talk to your plants? Cause I have like 9 or 10 plants at this point and I talk to them.
Oh, I haven't started talking to them yet. but you may have planted, no pun intended, a seed, Monica. I may start talking to my plants.
Monica, do you have like different relationships with the different plants where you're like, oh, this fern is really like perky in the morning, or this
ficus is. I do. I had on my birthday, my brother gave me plants. So I had like 4 already and now I have like 9 in the apartment and I picked them out. So each one's different. So they have names because one's called a ripple. So it's ripple. One's a money plant. So it's money. and so, yeah, I like spin it so it gets enough sun. I don't know. It's like, I actually find it quite peaceful in the morning to be like, and they got to open the drapes for you guys. Give you some sunlight. Sorry. Yeah. So I feel like I kind of like that.
It's, yeah. Like a little ritual.
Yeah. And it's made it positive.
That's great.
It's all I can talk about on this damn show lately, but I've got a lawn. So I've joined the...
You do?
It's a tiny little lawn for Dre the dog to relax in. It's like 30 square feet. So it's like, yeah, it's like 6.5 by 5-ish.
That checks out math-wise.
Yeah.
Do you mow it?
I'm trying to still grow it. It's been like over a month.
Oh, okay.
And
this on Instagram. You planted this, right? Like you laid it all down, right?
Yeah, I did some sod.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But it is weird. Like I also, like you were saying, it's like, something to do every morning. I'm a normal person existing. there's also a weird like old timey feel to it. I feel like a little bit like, oh, look at me, a man of the land, relating to other living things. I had a question that I forgot what it was. Oh, well. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Have either of you, this episode comes out next week. So Halloween will be, I believe, that same week. Is Halloween canceled? I got an invite to a party, like a warehouse party, where they were like, you must wear masks and you will be taking temperature checks. I'm like, I think Halloween might break us. Like, do you know, like, are your kids
going to... What do you mean break us?
I feel like there's a certain amount, like a certain part of society of which I don't think I'm a part of anymore, but I definitely was at one point where it's like, I got to go to a Halloween party. Like, I think Halloween is like, people are going to, it's really going to test people's resolve. Hmm. Not saying that I'm not going to do it, but I do feel like.
But isn't that what kind of happened with like Memorial Day and 4th of July and anything where people could congregate, like a good sizable chunk of people would congregate? And then there's another big spike, and then so this just seems like another part of that to me.
Are you going to trick or treat, Mike?
No,
just nothing.
No, I mean,
kids?
I'm asking Mike. Just kidding.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Have you had to break the news?
Well, we. It's actually my daughter's birthday today.
Oh.
And, we just had a party for her on Saturday or Sunday, and we went to like a park nearby here, and she had some friends, and they all like, I was kind of going around enforcing like masks if you're not eating and get away from each other. And they're all trying to make out and stuff. vape.
Making out and vaping.
And then I feel like that was sometime that day was the first time my son had brought up Halloween and expressed an interest in wanting to trick or treat. And it's totally my fault, but I think I just thought neither one of them had strong feelings about it. Mm-hmm. My daughter was going to meet up with some friends 2 weeks ago, and she'd asked me if she could go, and I took like a day to think about it because I wasn't going to be there, and they were going to go out to eat, and then they were going to go to the beach, and I was like, I guess it's okay, like if you really, because she's super responsible, so I was like, as long as you're making sure you're far enough away. And then on her own, she was like, I'm not going to go to the going out to eat part because I don't trust them to be able to be far enough away. And then at the beach, she was, so she kind of like self-enforces, and I think for Halloween she's like, no, obviously we can't. But my son's 11, so it's it might be harder for him to kind of wrap his head around that.
Yeah. Hey, your daughter sounds wiser than than you. Oh, actually.
Yes, I'm constantly. What was it? It was today. It was today because we did birthday stuff for her in the morning. I was off of my morning routine, and then she came out of like her Zoom school at 11 or something, and she was like, "Have you eaten yet?" And I hadn't. She was like, "You need to eat right now." And I was like, "All right, you're right."
I never thought about kids that way, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, you think of the things you're going to teach them, but I just look at it as just like, how can you improve me?
Improv. Knock knock.
Hello. Yes.
Hi, is this Dave Tringle? Is that you?
Yes, I'm Dave. Hi. Tringle.
Listen, I work with the city. You're sort of you've city? Gotten yeah. You could consider me sort of a type of police, but I'm just the kind that, you know, you'll see in a second.
So far, this is ringing a lot of alarm bells for me, but I'm going to leave my door open for a little longer to let you.
Well, I bet you have reasons to close that door because we get notices almost nightly about you staying up late with screaming, yelling, drinking, partying, having people over. I see here, you're not working at the moment. dig that up. Look, just peeking from what I can see through the crack in the door, it seems like you're it's a nightmare life that you have. So what we're gonna do is I have a 3-year-old. Okay. Her name's Amanda. And I think that we're just gonna let her stay with you for a while, see if you maybe can learn a thing or two, get back to your basic instincts, sort of tap back into what it means to be a human being, who can do things and survive and function.
Are you describing sort of a 3 men and a baby scenario where a young baby that I'm not equipped to care for comes into my life and then I am sort of forced to become more responsible and learn about myself?
Yes, in a way, but I don't want you to get your hopes up for 2 other men because it's going to be 1 man and a toddler.
That'd be weird if I wanted 2 strangers.
Well, it comes up.
All right, fair enough. I feel like that trope has been actually used in a lot of movies where there weren't 3 men, but I can't think of another one at the moment.
Yeah, that's on you.
I'm sorry, and I actually have several questions. Did you say you're a type of police?
I am working on behalf of the city. I have to do this by law. We're trying it out. It's a new thing here in Milwaukee.
How many children do you have?
How many children do I have? That's none of your... Oh, you mean of these ones I'm giving out?
Wait, is this
We see an 8-year-old standing behind Josh with a clipboard checking boxes.
Very good. Come on, Josh. Hey.
Is this your son here?
It's not my son. It's a boy I was assigned.
I see.
I, in fact, answer to him.
Wait, am I raising this 3-year-old or is this 3-year-old coming in to be my boss?
Hey, I'm here now.
Hello, Amanda.
Hi. It's Miss Amanda to you.
Oh, Miss Amanda. Well. Oh my gosh, her eyes are just like tea saucers. She's adorable.
You don't have to talk about me in third person. I'm standing in front of you.
Oh. Oh
yeah, gosh. Don't talk about her in third person. She's right here.
I'm sorry. She's wearing such a cute little dress. It's got a picture of a whale on the front of it. I just think it's adorable.
Yeah, because they're going extinct and I want you to think about other things than your selfish self, sir.
God, I just saw this headline talking about whales going extinct and I just skimmed it because I had to get another beer out of the fridge.
Oh, you're having beers for breakfast? No wonder you got that belly right now.
Oh, God, it's like holding up a mirror. Jeez Louise. Yeah.
I can see it's already doing a little, doing you some good. So if you could sign this.
Report me, or are you just going door to door? I don't know. I mean, I got to be honest. I don't like living the way I live. I mean, I come from a long line of, I'm a tringle, you know? I'm a tringle.
Yeah, we know the tringles.
I just haven't been able to get my act together.
Well, this is a Gillette. This is Amanda Gillette.
You're from the Gillette family.
You're from the Gillette family dynasty?
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we can clean up your act when we give you a good shave.
There you go. See?
Start your morning right. Clean your clean your teeth.
I have to believe your family are billionaires. Is that right?
You have to believe it because it's the truth.
So what happened?
You're asking a lot of questions for someone who should be following the orders of this 3-year-old.
You're letting this situation get away from you?
Hey, put the poker down.
Wait, is that part of it? Is she going to be like hitting me with stuff?
They won't start out that way, but if you don't learn to behave, then yes, you get Amanda will be given a poker.
Carrots and a stick.
And a stick. I get to choose what I want to do to your body as a punishment.
Okay, I mean, I don't like the idea of that, but to be honest, I doubt that a 3-year-old girl could hurt me that badly. So. Jesus Christ! Oh, broke my femur, you jerk!
We cut to Mike a few months later. He's holding a very responsible adult dinner party with some food.
I would like to say thank all of you for coming. I know some of you are new friends of mine from the Homeowners Association. Other ones are childhood friends that I hadn't talked to in years. And glad
we see, we're able to reach out. There's an adult table and a kids table and all the kids are taking notes on the adults.
Sorry about my guy. He's going through something.
Your guy is the one using a rope to hold his pants up?
Yeah, he broke his belt. Natural causes.
Wait, what does that mean?
he got too fat for his belt.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that expression used outside of your dad.
Hey, this is the kids'
this
table.
This is a kids' table.
What do you think you're doing?
Get out of here. Come back with some olives. Or don't come back at all.
Okay. Hey, guys, sorry about that. Anyway, just want to say thanks all of you for being here. Lenny,
my pleasure.
Amazing to see you. I know you, I was very sorry to hear that you got divorced last year.
Yes, it is unfortunate. but I have learned that drinking away my sorrows and spending my money at the Gentleman's Club is not adult-like. And I have since joined a support group and am currently on Match.com. Does anybody have any more applesauce? I finished my applesauce.
I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. This isn't us, all right?
I can't either. I can't stand by while Lenny eats all the applesauce. He's already had 3 spoonfuls.
That's not what I mean, Tim.
That's right.
How about that?
That's right. He also didn't have a cover on his drink. He was just drinking with his hands. Wine could go anywhere.
Well, I'm not spilling it, so I can have a kid's cup if I like it. Thank you very much.
No, we're not individuals anymore. It's like we're becoming controlled by these little Nazi children. I don't care what happens. I can't do this.
Don't call him a Nazi. Don't call him a Nazi.
Or else what?
Oh. Did you just call me a Nazi?
I'm calling this whole system. None of us have free will. This is a bullshit. And
so this has nothing to do with race, sir. If it's about free will, get your history right and pick something better as a reference. Embarrassing adult table manners.
It's a figure of speech, and you know that. You're going to be 4 next week. Stop writing down. Stop writing that down.
Little miss, since I defended you, can I have another spoon of applesauce?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm forever in your debt.
Spoon of applesauce. We paid for this food. They didn't contribute anything. It was a potluck. You guys made this and brought it from home. Bought it at the store.
If you don't finish your plate, we're not going to get to watch Coco.
Oh, no.
I overturn the kids' table. No! No more!
Whoa. I'll kick your ass.
Oh, yeah. I know they're tough, but they can't take all of us. All of us are collectively bigger than they are. Much bigger, all right? Yeah, who's got my back? Guys.
I got your back because I'm going to jump on it.
She's biting my neck. All right, that's it. Nobody fucking move. I will use this gun. I will shoot somebody. Okay, that's okay. Right.
Put the gun down.
No. I don't care what happens anymore. All right? I'm either going to kill a kid.
We cut to Mike in prison. He gets shown into his cell. There's a baby on a harmonica laying in the...
Hey, jailer. I don't know if that's the word.
Good luck in there. All right, let's get into the meat part of the podcast, the part where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Monica, you are up first. What would you like to talk about?
I have no idea why this came to mind this morning, but I remember the first time I got bullied.
Oh.
I don't think I don't know if this is a good story.
It's okay.
I have an older brother, and we lived near school, but he didn't want to hang out with me. So he dropped me off at the time. The school had like a gated little kid park. Have you seen those where like the kindergarten section's got its own thing? So my brother locked me in there, and then he left and went biking with his friend. And I remember having a good time just going down the slide by myself and stuff. And then I remember really older, big kids that were probably like 10, like probably, you know.
How old were you?
I think I was around 5. I was in kindergarten. So I was pretty young. And these older kids came in and they were like, "Ooh, you like the slide? Need help with a push?" And they would like push me so I'd like fall down the slide and like hurt myself. And they're like, "Ooh, you want to get on the swing?" And they just, everything they did was like pretending like they were helping me have more fun, but were bullying me. And I don't know what switched in me, but I just attacked. Like I kicked one guy in the shin. I shoved one guy over the slide. And I just like this little nutcracker of this little blonde baby. And then my brother came back with his friend, and my brother is not protective. is not an older brother in any cliche. And he, this is the only time in my entire life, maybe that's why it was stuck out, where he was like, hey, don't pick on my sister. And it was like this big, big moment. And the guys just laughed at him and stuff. And then he was like, hey, Monica, go home. And I ran home, but I wasn't allowed to cross the street. I need permission. And I had to pee. And I remember having to pee and standing on the corner. And my grandmother came out and she's like, you can cross. And I was like, I need you to cross with me. And she's like, no, you can cross. And then I just stood at the corner and peed.
with an eye shot of the bullies?
With, like, I don't know, I believe, like, pretty close to the bullies, but also my grandmother's, like, across the street saying, you can cross. And me going, like, you have to walk with me. Ah! And then just, I guess, all the nerves or stress from it. I don't have memories of really being bullied too much after that.
When your brother left you at the thing, were you, like, weirded out all that you were being left alone, or did it seem normal because it was a playground?
I think it was normal because it's a playground, and also we went to different schools. And I don't know if any of you guys have this. When you raise siblings going to different schools, you're kind of telling them not to hang out.
Mm. Oh, wait, are you guys close in age?
He's only 3 years older than me. So we're not that far in age, but we never went to the same school. Yeah, he went to a private musical school and I didn't. He went to like an all boys musical school. So it just sort of, I feel like I would give the suggestion of don't raise your kid that way, because you know what I mean? He had his group of friends at his school that he had to take the subway to. And I had my group of friends that I like took the bus with. Like, it was just a different, you become like less siblings.
Yeah,
because you basically, like, I would imagine, I don't have any siblings, but I would imagine it's like,
here we go,
you don't even get to talk shit about, like if you're like, oh, the fucking Anderson kids, Jesus, like like, or there's no familiarity, there's like no reference point.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, like, I would go because he went to a little private boys school and he sang at a choir school, so we would go to his choir school stuff. So I would tie all his friends' ties, so I learned to tie a Windsor knot at a very young age, and like go to like all of his musical events. So I got to know the boys in his school. He also went through grade 2 to finished high school with the same group of like 25 boys, versus I went to a couple different schools. So like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's such a different way to raise the kids. We had a very different upbringing in that regard.
25. I feel like 25 boys that for that long is like, are those now his like friends for life or like
whenever he goes home? Yeah. Whenever he doesn't live in Toronto, neither of us live in Toronto, but yeah, there's still some of them are still his friends. Like, he's still really close with them. It's kind of crazy.
It's interesting.
Are you friends with any people from your school age?
Yeah. My best friend since I was 6, I'm still friends with, and we didn't go to the same high school, university. And then I was gone at a young age, but yeah. So every once in a while, I feel like you have that one friend.
Yeah.
Do you guys not have that?
I have a friend, an old friend, that my neighbor, but like, we're not as close now, but we're still like, cool. We make a point to see each other.
He's 87 years old.
Yeah. He bought all the candy I was selling.
did your brother then not like bully you or pick on you as an older brother? Like, you said he didn't defend you, but you were basically strangers.
No, like, I mean, we played together at home. I don't want it to sound like this dire hate situation. Sorry. But we just, like, I'm younger than him, but more fit than him. So we used to play surfboard, and he would lie on the ground and I would stand on his back and he would try to get up. And I would ride the wave of him trying to get me off of him. I don't know if you can picture it, but it was super fun.
Yes.
So yeah, I was stronger and like faster than him, all of those kind of things, because he was just like this skinny older boy.
A choir boy.
He was like a skinny choir boy, and I was like a kid. I don't know if it made a difference. I went to like school with boys and girls. And I didn't have to wear a uniform at first, and he did. Like, I don't know if that just changes you at all.
I imagine it's a dynamic, right? It establishes a dynamic, I guess. I can't even imagine taking the subway to school. Did you have any interest in singing? Or was that just something that your brother, like, glammed onto?
I liked instruments. I played a number of instruments. I like singing. I wanted to be at a choir school, but there was only a boy one. But I played the flute and the piccolo and the piano. So I kind of went that direction with it. I also liked sports.
Did you take formal lessons for flute or piccolo or piano?
The flute I learned in school, all through school. And then same with the piccolo. And then the piano, my grandmother played by ear. Oh, my, like all my family is musicians. They're an artist. They're either in advertising or they're musicians. Like they played the piano during Charlie Chaplin movies. And they all taught themselves or they play by ear a number of instruments. So my grandmother kind of taught us because she played by ear. So it's sort of a musically inclined family.
The other ones promoted Charlie Chaplin movies.
It is weird to be like, they're all musicians and like any family that's still alive are in advertising or music. I don't know why. Like, those are the two art forms.
So when you say plays piano to Charlie Chaplin movies, do you mean for the recording or for like in a theater?
One of them did it in a theater in Denmark when Charlie Chaplin first came out. And there's only like one or two theaters. He was the one that played in the theater. Then the other ones in like they're very famous names of choirs and like jazz bands, but in Denmark that they played.
Huh.
That's so cool. Yeah.
That's very random. Back to the bullying for a second. Do you remember, like, I have a couple little instances like that, but like, do you think, how long did it take you to realize they were picking on you? And was that like, do you know what I mean? Like, was there like one push where you're like, oh, they're just playing weird?
I think I didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were like wanting to be my friend. I just don't think I understood why. Like, it was confusing to me because they were pushing hard. Like, I have memories of certain things like that of like, why are you doing this? This doesn't make sense to me. And then, then I knew they were just being mean, but I knew, sorry, dog, mean.
It's okay.
I knew mean existed. Do you know what I mean? I knew like mean kids existed, but they weren't even bullying me for anything. It's not like.
You were just there.
Just there.
That's, it wasn't like. Worst. When people are dicks and you can tell they're only like half interested to begin with, like they're not even motivated, but they're still ruining your day.
You can't even get their full attention.
Yeah. Like at least like pick something out, like my outfit, my shoes. You know what I mean? Like give me, when I was older, those were things I would get picked on for. But like this had no rhyme or reason except I'm alone in this park or this like gated playground.
I remember I was at a summer camp once and some kids stole my candy, like a bunch of my candy from my bunk and like ate it all. Like I literally found all the wrappers like in their area, like just like on the ground, which isn't bullying. But I do remember like, and I've said this before on here, but like those first times when you're a kid are just so much bigger than any other. It's like it's the most betrayed I've ever been. Do you know what I mean? To be like up to that point, to be like, they just stole it because I would have shared it.
Whatever. You're innocent before then. Like it doesn't even occur to you that someone would think to do something like that.
Yeah. I just remember just crying. And actually, I remember specifically, I went to a tetherball pole and started hitting the tetherball by myself.
That feels like a scene out of like that Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet movie. Where he smashes the pigeon.
Yeah.
We can see that of you just hitting the tetherball alone.
A shameful memory.
Eternal Sunshine?
Yeah.
Yeah. go ahead, Jake.
My sisters were much older, so I didn't grow up with them, but I remember like a friend in our friend group had an older brother who now it's like, oh, he was only 2 years older than us. But that age gap between like 11 and 13 or 9 and 11 or whatever is like, he seemed huge and his friends seemed huge. And it was like, it was pretty fun to like wrestle him. But sometimes his name was PJ, and sometimes PJ's friend Travis would come over, and it was like PJ knew how to kind of like wrestle with kids younger than him and sort of make it fun. And Travis made it a point to just kick the shit out of you. Like, it was like, oh, is PJ going to be here or whatever? And it was like, cool. And then it was like, Travis is coming over. And it was like, you'd still want to wrestle, but you'd pray that, like, Travis never got his sights on you. Like, because it's like, PJ knew, like, you could say uncle or whatever, and he would let up. But Travis would, like, work to make you pass out or whatever. Like, it was like, they, like, found out my friend John was, like, essentially slightly claustrophobic, and I remember them stuffing him into a sleeping bag and just like holding the end of it while he freaked out inside. And it was like,
oh no.
And it was like, okay, this is like moved beyond boys just like roughhousing into like them zeroing in on what your phobia is and exploiting it. Yeah.
There is a, yeah, I know that kind of kid. What's Travis up to now?
Last I heard, I mean, he ended up becoming a very successful artist.
Violent.
A friend of mine started like a ski company, and they had, and he became their like resident artist for it. So.
Sounds like he's doing pretty great. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he found an outlet. It wasn't whipping me with a wiffle ball bat. I'm talking real shit.
Improv. Hey, dude. What's you? You've been to this playa before?
No, this is my first time to this playa.
Cool. It's a pretty sweet board. You're going to catch some waves?
I'm hoping to. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful day for it. Huh?
Beautiful day for some wave riding.
I agree. I'm out here with my family. My wife and kids are over there and just looking to catch some waves.
Oh, cool. Killer. Me too. Hey, I'll paddle out with you. Let me just grab my board.
Okay.
Bill,
great.
Bill, come here.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is my older brother Bill. Hey Bill, are you ready to go out?
Yeah, I guess I'm about ready. Yeah.
All right, bud, let's do this.
great.
Back here. Yeah. All right. Paddle.
Great.
Paddle.
This is nice. You guys come out here a lot?
Yeah, I'll usually get on Bill like any morning I can, basically.
Yeah.
You're
hard for me to answer, actually.
Yeah, Bill, just focus on hold your breath, buddy, okay?
Oh my God. Is he okay?
Oh, he loves this. He's fine. Oh, here's a good one. This one, it's got both of our names on it. Ready, buddy?
Okay, what?
All right, new friend, let's do this. Oh, shit, I wiped out.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, is your brother okay?
See Bill straight as a board, just out on the wave.
There we go. You know what it is? I forgot to tie my line onto him. Hold on a second. Let's tie this onto him. There we go. Okay, that's where I won't lose him.
Why not use a surfboard? That's my question. Why not use a surfboard? And you're riding a human being.
I mean, I guess I could. I mean, I don't know. Bill and I just kind of, this is what we used to do when we were kids, and it was always really fun. And just never stop being fun.
Oh, okay. As long as
why don't you ride a person?
Yeah, why don't you ride a person?
Cut to Jake back with his wife. Honey, I don't understand. So you want me to get on my stomach?
Yeah, you get on your stomach. They were pulling some sweet tricks, and I just kind of feel like a stupid noob out there riding a board without a personality. So,
hey, you coming or what?
One second, my board's being a little, my board's being stubborn.
I hear you.
Hey, what do you mean I hear you? Pretty amicable.
Not you, no, Bill, not you, dude.
And I just feel like I know you hit the big 3-5 and you're reevaluating your life choices.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how comfortable I am with you stepping on my back.
You
and
can
then
stand on me, Dad.
Okay. Look, hon, I'd love to do this with you. I think it would bond us. Plus, you owe me because I did the Color Me Mine with you, but I'm happy to take our kid.
You're right. You did paint that dragon for me while we drank wine.
That's right. And wine makes me sleepy. So.
Okay. All right. I guess.
Hey, can we just go surfing, dude? I don't know if we're going to wait for this guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're just going to catch
up. No, they're going to like a 10-minute
long conversation with
you. I grab her and put her under my arm.
Oh. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Hold still, honey.
Paddle out. Oh no, she's thrashing way too much. You know what? If you're wet, this, it's really not okay.
No, we'll figure this out.
I wouldn't even think of doing this if Bill wasn't into it.
Yeah, of course. I prefer to be the board.
Honey, if you're not into it, you don't have to do it. I don't want to make you do anything you're not comfortable with.
No,
I'll do it, Daddy. Stand on me, Daddy.
I mean, our kid looks like, you know, Alex looks like he's into it. And to be honest, you said I should be more of a present father figure. You know, I've been.
Is it because I have scoliosis? Is that why you want to stand on me?
And we don't want him to feel different because of his scoliosis. So.
You're right. I guess take little Alex. I mean, maybe he'll be better for the waves, you know, a curved board.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that's actually a thing, a curved board to get the ride.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel bad. I don't want you to not have any fun out here.
No, it's fine. It's just like the rest of our marriage.
Oh, hey, do you want to ride Bill?
Huh? Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, if you don't mind, I'd love to step on your body in water.
That's kind of a brother thing. I mean,
Bill!
Let me just get up on you.
Bill, let my wife ride you.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh.
She's pulling my hair.
Yeah. Take it, Bill.
Take it? This isn't a sex thing. I do it with my brother.
Daddy?
Yeah, you like that?
Daddy, I paddled out. What's going on?
Okay, Alex, I'm going to need you to be as stiff as you can.
Okay.
All right.
This is as stiff as I can get. Sorry. Okay. I know you're pretty noodly.
You're doing okay, pal. You're doing okay. Maybe I'll just boogie board. I'll just ride you in.
If we're going to do this...
This is the wettest I've been. I love it. Splash on me, Bill.
She flipped me over.
Bill, know your role.
I know my role. I'm a lifeless board. I'm at work. I'm doing my job.
Yeah, you're a lifeless board. Shut up, Bill, and take it. Hey, I haven't seen you in forever, Jake. Wow. Not since high school, right?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for coming to my art show. You're really going to like this stuff. It's reminiscent of our time together, you know?
Oh, I didn't realize I made such an impact on you.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Here, take a look. This one is, I made this out of paint. Acrylic paint, and uh-huh. It's an image of you getting that wedgie I gave you when you started to cry in front of Melissa. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You made a whole art piece out of it?
Yeah, it's about, like, what hurts more, the emotion or the ass? I named it the ass.
Well, that's accurate, although in the long run, I think it was the emotion that hurt more. What are these other?
I think it might have been the ass.
Excuse me?
I'm just looking at the piece. And I think what the artist is trying to say is that these childhood emotions are fleeting. But really, in this moment, it's the red chafe marks on the ass that are the most painful.
Yeah.
Art is surface at some point. Hmm. I'm loving this.
Great. I'm glad you're loving it. I'm glad you're having a good time. Okay. Sure. Maybe that was a pivotal moment for you. I get it.
I'm sorry. Are you the artist?
Yeah, yeah, that's me right here.
Oh my God.
I had a question about this one. Very reminiscent of Klimt's The Kiss.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing the two faces that are kissing in this image look like the same man's face. Oh, is it this man? Wait a second, are you?
Yes.
That's my muse. That's my muse right there.
Yes, as a teenager, she forced me to kiss myself in the mirror and make sweet, sweet kisses, making out with myself in the mirror.
Really, any reflection, toilet water, puddle. Yeah. I don't know why I say mirror. It got way, way deeper than that, you know?
Did you say piss puddle?
Yes,
yeah, piss like puddle. You piss in a puddle. You make a puddle with your piss, a pee-pee.
No, I get it. I just haven't seen one in years.
Yes, I made out with a piss puddle reflection of myself. This is humiliating. I'm humiliated. These are humiliating.
I would be honored. I mean, are all of these you're an inspiration, clearly.
That sculpture of a man eating his own butt that happened.
You did that?
How? Yes. How were you able to eat your own butt?
Travis here squeezed me together until my face met my butt and then made me bite my own butt.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a skeptic, but I just don't see how that would be possible.
Well,
no, it was like, remember those, like, the president makes you do stretches? And Jakey was so good at those stretches that we just kept practicing and practicing until he could reach his mouth to...
I hate to ask.
No.
No, I think I'm thinking the same thing.
But if you could do the...
That was 15 years ago. There's no way I'm going to be able to bite my own butt, okay?
Clearly kept in shape. It looks like you've spent a lifetime working out, possibly trying to compensate for something.
The president still makes us all stretch.
Every day.
Not grown adults. If you're stretching on your own for the president, that's on you, everybody.
I'm stretching for the president every morning.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any way. I mean, Travis is clearly an artist now, taking his time to find his calling, and I'm an adult.
Can he pry the top of his head against the wall here?
Yeah.
as we clink our champagne flutes, do it.
I don't think I'm not. I'm certainly not going to kiss my own butt.
Try. Well, it's actually less fun if you try. Make him.
Yeah, I can make, oh my God, living art in the moment.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I feel like those really famous artists that no one remembers the names of, but they'll remember my name.
No, we're not doing that. Get your hands off.
Just pull your lips.
Oh, wow. I've never seen a man bend like that. And he said without the presidential stretcher.
There's no way I'm biting my own butt. So this is as close as you're going to get.
Who said anything about biting, you monster? What? Biting your own butt?
I saw the artist is present at the MoMA in New York City. And this is as powerful. I'm seeing a man contemplating whether or not he can bite his own butt.
I'm not contemplating. I could do it, but I won't do it.
Let's do it. We're taking this to Benally. Let's get that mouth open.
There he goes.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, this is like watching Mozart compose or something. I have a question. This painting over here, where it's what I'm assuming is Jake standing over a graveside crying.
They all move on. Jake is stuck with his ass and his teeth in the corner of the room.
Yeah, his parents died in a terrible bus accident. And I took this because I had memories of when we all followed him to the grave. You know, we're making him do some stupid stuff. It's great.
Oh, God, this is like VH1's Behind the Music, but for
I almost don't want to know all this. I want more mystery.
Oh, I could hear it all day.
Oh, he's crying onto his butt crack. Should we try to capture that somehow?
Yeah. Wow.
Wait. What?
His tears are cascading down his butt cheek.
Into his butthole.
I've never seen that before.
Whoa. It's like reverse osmosis.
I feel like I'm looking at the Mona Lisa.
It's not hard. Once I uncoil, I'm going to get my parking validated and I'll...
You guys remember in Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum makes the drop of water go in Laura Dern's hand and they're trying to predict which way it's going to go?
Kind of.
Let's see the biggest scene of the movie.
It's easily the most memorable part of the movie. Let's see which way the tear goes down his butt creek.
Somebody please help me out.
Oh, the hair's getting in the way.
Hair's getting sopped up.
Yeah.
Wow. This is...
I think a little shit just came out.
Oh, my God. Jake, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate how you're...
Stop thanking me and appreciating this is art. It's not art.
I really, really appreciate this. I'm going to get you a Starbucks gift card.
We cut to Jeff Bezos' house. We see Jake is biting his ass on a pedestal. there's a fancy party going on around it. Yeah, so I said if you don't succumb to the prices I'd like for the iron, then I'll just drone your whole I'll drone strike your whole country.
Jeff, this is amazing.
This
man here.
Yes, this is what's called living art.
Oh. How much did you pay for this human?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. What is
it? It's art. Don't consider it human. Consider he's here to chomp on his ass for our pleasure. It's not like a fountain situation. Don't like throw nickels at him and try to make wishes on it.
You don't want us to throw nickels at him?
Not like a
fountain. I don't know if you heard, but the Federal Reserve just ended the coin shortage, and so I went out and got reams of nickels.
Well, that's a smart move. Okay, let's make some wishes on it.
I assure you, nothing will come true.
Chasha!
All right, let's try to...
Beautiful when he protests.
I only have two knees, which are much bigger and heavier.
Why would you only have two knees?
Because no one else wants them. Canadian money.
Looks like we've got a xenophobe here. What's wrong with toonies?
Nothing. They don't take them here in the States. They're heavy coins.
I don't like this art.
I don't either. He doesn't. We're all internationally wealthy people. We can go anywhere in the world at the drop of a hat. Of course, we
cut to a thrift store. Jake is biting his own ass in the corner.
I don't want that, Mom. I told you.
It'll fill out. You need art for your walls.
Ugh.
You can't just have Britney Spears posters up for your whole life. You're going to college.
Why not? Britney Spears is funny. It's like ironic. But this guy is just old.
I'm only 33.
Okay, yeah, we don't... This thing's going to fall apart in a couple years.
Oh, guys, please take him. If you don't, I'm literally going to throw him in the dumpster.
I can walk home.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story. Mike, what would you like to talk about?
I thought that because today is my daughter's birthday, I would talk about the time when she was born and when we found out that when my wife and I found out that she was pregnant. That my wife is pregnant. My daughter was a what you might call a predictable surprise based on irresponsible behavior on my part. And when my wife got pregnant, we weren't married at the time, and so she told me. And it was late at night, and I think I was watching Casablanca for the first time. And she told me she was pregnant, and I instantly flashed back to this time in college when And I should say we were being irresponsible. We were not trying to get pregnant at all. Like that was not on, on our radars. So in college, there was this one time when I'd gone camping with a friend of mine and he had borrowed this friend of his van and we got it like stuck half in, half out of the mud by this lake and we couldn't get it out. And we were like, well, we're not getting out. Let's just do the drugs we were going to do and sleep in the van. And so we were on drugs and then somewhere in the course of the night we're talking and it came out that we were both IUD babies, meaning that our moms both had IUDs and both of them got pregnant anyway. And in both cases, like the doctor recommended my mom get an abortion and then my friend's dad recommended that his mom get an abortion because they were young and they already had a kid. And and in both cases, the moms didn't get an abortion. So my friend and I, like very high, are like, let's make a vow that if we ever have an unexpected pregnancy, that we won't even bring up abortion. And so when my then girlfriend was like, I'm pregnant, the first thing that popped in my mind is like, well, we gotta get an abortion. But I instantly snapped to that. And I was just like, that's great. Like I just was instantly supportive. And it's been great. And then, what's the doctor you go to when you're pregnant? Is it just an OBGYN or is there
a still gynecologist?
Okay. So the lady that we had was really laid back and, I'm kind of like an anxious person to begin with, but so this was also just totally unknown and scary. And I think on the one hand, it's good to be reassuring to parents to be and just kind of let them know like, hey, it's going to be okay. But literally anything that we asked her, she's like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. Do nothing. And so nothing ever seemed to land. And then she also was bad about getting back to us about stuff. So at one point we took this, my wife took this test to determine something going on with the pregnancy. And it was inconclusive, but it was one of those things where it's like, there's an X amount of percentage that your child might have brain damage or something. So it was very scary. We're trying to get in touch with the OBGYN. She's not getting back to us. Literally a month passes while Betty's pregnant. And so Betty eventually just gets another doctor, like leaves a message with the OBGYN that she's not our OBGYN anymore. And we get this other doctor. And so the day that Audra is born, we're in the hospital and the original OBG lady walks in and is just like, hey, congratulations. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And then Betty was like, we fired you. Like I left a message with your office weeks ago saying that we were switching OBGYNs because you were so horrible about getting back to us. And she literally just backed out of the room. I was just like, oh, okay, well, great. Congratulations. And then left and we never saw her again. and then,
sounds like a bad, receptionist on her or something. How did she not know any of this?
Flighty.
I don't know. It could have been a reception problem, but it was so much the culture of just her whole vibe in general. He seemed like someone that would be like, oh, messages, don't worry about it. I don't have to that was her mantra for everybody, including herself. So I don't know what caused it. But if you can go a month with a bad receptionist and not realize that you're not getting any messages, then
yeah,
shame on you.
I wonder if it is the doctor, because I had a doctor's appointment recently and we discussed a couple things. And so she's like, okay, I'll send you referrals to these other doctors because my insurance, I need a referral. And then she didn't send it. So I called the office and the receptionist is like, yeah, she has no memory of any of these things you said you need referrals for. And I was like, but that's what the appointment was. And we talked about it and she never took out a notepad and wrote anything down. So she just straight up forgot. And they gave me them all, but she had no memory of it.
That's such a funny way. That's such a funny way to put it too, of like, we have no memory of this. So
because she's like, she doesn't remember talking to you about this stuff. And I was like, that's why I made the appointment.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh gosh.
That reminds me of like waiters when like when I was a server, like other servers would be like, I don't even use the notepad. It's like, use the notepad. Doctors especially.
Like, I feel so like, you like when waiters don't.
Personally. Yeah, me neither.
No one does. Is anybody impressed by that?
No.
I don't think anyone cares if you don't use the notepad, and people are always reassured and happy when you do use it.
Yeah.
It's also worried.
A nice way to like cover your ass. Cause it's like, I've waited tables and they've been like, we said this or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't make a huge difference, but if you don't write it down, you can't be like, no, this is what I wrote. Like it only puts you in a bad position if something doesn't go your way as the waiter. Like it's like,
or the doctor.
Yeah. Of like,
well, wait, let me ask you this though, but say you write everything down and I say like no pickles or something and you just don't, you forget to write it down, write something else down. And then you're like, oh, I got the receipts, man. Like, yes, no pickles. I'm going to be like, don't gaslight me. I know I said no pickles. It
seems like there's no- you're absolutely right. I think it's more of like, I can maybe be like, oh, that's crazy. Maybe the kitchen, like I can deflect it, but if I don't write it down and it's like, I said no pickles and it's like, yeah, I heard you. It's like, did you? You didn't write it down. Like, it's a way to just go like immediately blame me if anything's wrong with the
right. food. But you're saying you can say I did write it down, therefore it can't be my fault.
Yeah. Even though it might. I mean, I would never argue with the table that much. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I could have swore I wrote that down or whatever. But if you don't write it down and something goes wrong and it's not your fault, it always comes back to you anyways. Cause it's like, well, where's the person who didn't like write it? It's like just waving a hand to be like, you can blame me if anything goes wrong because I'm the weakest link in this chain.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered that because I have an allergy. So when I order food, it has happened to me many times where the food comes with the allergen on it. So I'm like, hey, I mentioned this earlier. Could you please? And almost always the waiter goes, oh yeah, the kitchen must have messed up. And it's gotten to a place where I'm just like, are you just putting blame there so I still give you a good tip? Because at this point, it doesn't feel honest.
Yeah,
but- I'm sure.
So it seems there's a hole in your theory, Jake.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like this is kind of related to just doctors not remembering, but like I just started with a new therapist and I feel like I have to jog this motherfucker's memory so often where I'm like, we're talking about my parents. Like, he's like, yeah, yes, you were talking, yes, your parents, yes.
That sucks.
That sucks, yeah.
There's a friend of mine that he would be at his therapist and she would remember stuff that my friend would have forgotten. And then she'd be like, wait a second, this sort of, and she would start digging through her notes and pull out something from like months before. Where it's like, oh, well, your parents made you give away your comic book collection when you were 12. And he'd be like, oh, my God, that is why I didn't want to go to my father's funeral or whatever the thing is. I'm talking real shit.
You're pregnant?
Yeah, I'm pregnant. Oh, I know.
We've got to write a Space Jam sequel. I was doing drugs with my friend and we made a vow that if we ever got anyone pregnant, we'd write a Space Jam sequel. So you and I got to write a Space Jam sequel before we have this baby.
I'm sort of still in this weird emotion from being pregnant and Space Jam was a shit movie. This is like, let's celebrate.
I agree. I want to celebrate. And I agree that the first one was a shit movie. So we got a lot of work to do. We're digging ourselves out of a hole. It's a pact I made. We were super high. And my friend and I realized that both of us were conceived during Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And
Jessica was beautiful.
Beautiful. And so we said, you know, if we ever get someone pregnant, we've got to do a better job at telling an anime that Space Jam dropped the ball. So let's celebrate. Cheers. And I'm just going to throw this corkboard up and we're just going to start storyboarding.
I can't.
Bit,
cheers, right? Honey. I'm pregnant.
Right.
Oh.
Oh. Hey, I'll get it. I'm You're so pregnant. Hey, hello.
Hey. I'm so sorry. Monica told me the news earlier. I wanted to give you this. It's a copy of Final Draft 10. So excited for the two of you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. Of course. You're too kind. That is incredible. We're going to use this every day, right, okay. Babe?
Oh, yeah. I guess it'll be Lamaze and then, you know.
Yeah.
You're writing for three now.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. Any tips? I know that you're a proud parent.
Yes. Well, Denise and I wrote a spec sequel to Cool World when she was pregnant with Darren.
Wow. And
it is in turnaround right now. So, unfortunately, not looking like it's going to get made, but it was a great experience. You know, you have to sometimes you just got to let it go and move on to the next thing. So we are currently trying.
All right. Oh, trying again.
Yeah, trying to get pregnant again, and then
okay,
and then we're gonna write up that scene from Fantasia sequel to Fantasia.
That's incredible.
We cut to the OBGYN. He's got the wand on the belly.
Oh, a wand. It's you know, technology has moved so much since ultrasounds. I'm really impressed.
Yes, I am. This is the best equipment I have. But I don't want to, I'm not here to talk about whatever I'm wanding here. I want to talk about the script. The outline is okay.
It's, what does that mean? What does okay mean?
Is the baby okay? Is the baby okay?
Those two are sort of interconnected.
What?
Baby, I think, is good. I mean, I see a little head there and
yeah.
I don't know if it's a boy or girl, but I don't, you know, you can't, it doesn't really matter. As far as Space Jam goes, so the first act is a lot. You do a lot with, you have LeBron in this one?
We have LeBron, yeah.
You're thinking, but if it's a boy, we were going to name him LeBron. Is there any way you could tell?
What?
With your wand, if you could see this.
You want me to see if there's...
See if he's got a wand, you know?
Okay.
You know, a penis.
We cut to the delivery room. Okay, Monica, I'm going to need you to bear down and just give me pitches for celebrities that we can get to play the referee, okay?
Okay. We could bring...
You can do it. You can do this.
Ben Kingsley. He says no really well. Oh,
okay. He's done some comedy stuff, okay?
I mean, yes. She's intense. Don't get in her way, okay?
No bad ideas. No bad ideas. Okay, keep going. Okay.
Kiefer Sutherland. He's timeless.
We rehearsed this 1,000 times. Okay.
Is this to replace Bill Murray played in the original one? So
yeah, I'm trying to think of funny actors. Anthony Hopkins.
An alarm starts going off. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh my God.
We're going to need some punch. We're going to need some off-screen dialogue for the scene where Porky Pig gets hit in the curly tail with the basketball.
Oh God.
Hey, Dad, we need your help too. Why don't you get down there with Monica? Just start pitching some outlines.
Okay. That's why they call him Tim Duncan?
Oh,
not bad.
Okay. How do you like them apples?
Okay.
That's a copyright nightmare.
One of the nurses faints.
Oh, no.
Okay. It's okay. We're doing great. Okay. Who's the Wascally Wabbit now?
Not bad. All right.
Oh, wait a second, guys. I'm sorry. We have a little bit of a problem.
Okay.
The foot is coming out first. The baby might be turned around.
Oh my
God. And also LeBron is out. LeBron is out. This is not a done deal, though. We can still find a way to save this.
We hear a bunch of people in the other room like,
okay, it's okay.
Do we get Steph Curry? Is he tall enough?
Steph Curry, that's probably okay, right?
Okay, he does some TV stuff, all right.
Let's see if, you know what, let's ask the focus group. they light up a two-way mirror or whatever, a one-way mirror. What do you guys think? Steph Curry, is he the type that you kind of would follow along for a whole journey, or is he more like an ancillary character?
Is he funny, though?
He's not. He's not funny. He's a very serious guy.
Really funny in Trainwreck.
What about Blake Griffin?
Blake Griffin. Now let's just go around. Who's heard of Blake Griffin?
Oh, I've heard of Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an idea. He's a little washed now. He's not as a dynamic player as he used to be. He's more of a shooter these days.
What about Scottie Pippen?
Ooh. That's interesting. That's more of a traditional sequel, actually.
Got a connection to Michael Jordan. It's like in Short Circuit 2 when they couldn't get Ali Sheedy, so they got Fisher Stevens, who was in the first one in the supporting role, and then they made him the, you guys get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, we always get the Short Circuit heads and these focus groups.
You know what I love best about Short Circuit is that everybody loves robots. You know what I mean?
See, all the nurses have like slowly left the delivery table. Everyone's getting in on this Short Circuit discussion.
It's just it's a relatable wish fulfillment fantasy that you have a robot that's also a friend. It's like a Pinocchio story. The robot just wants to be a real boy.
You know, you're talking like you're pregnant.
Oh, God.
Get the wand. Let's get that belly.
Hello, everyone. Is this your first time dining here tonight?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Yes. Wonderful. Well, just, you know, we do things a little bit differently. I'm going to be taking your orders, but first I'm just going to set up this camcorder to record what everyone says in case, for whatever reason, we need to refer back to it later. Usually isn't an issue, but just in case, we just want to make sure we've got it back up.
It's like a dash cam?
Yeah, it's sort of like a dash cam or a nanny cam. I'm going to adjust it to point at each of you when you're ordering.
It's a little like Big Brother, but I mean, this Forrest Gump really takes it to the next level.
That's how we like to do it.
I don't mind. This is kind of fun.
Well, you know, it wasn't fun how it started. In Russia, a bunch of people would go sit at a restaurant and stab themselves in the eye. So it became such an insurance issue that they had to put dash cams or I guess dine cams on all.
They were accusing the Russian mafia of doing it, and it really was just the patrons stabbing themselves.
Mm. Yeah.
This is engaging food conversation.
I'm sorry. Well, that's not why you guys come to Forrest Gump's restaurant.
I'll start.
Forrest? That is Bubba Gump's.
No, you're thinking of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. This is Forrest Gump.
This is Forrest. It just opened. I thought it would be something fun to try.
Oh, it's all vegan seafood. That's exciting.
Yes, that's also why I'm wearing this Vietnam War uniform while I'm taking your order.
Oh.
Okay.
It's authentic.
Well, shall we get drinks started?
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me turn the old camera on. Okay.
Okay. I notice you have mezcal on the menu. Is it smoky? He looks into the camera.
Sir, I'm sorry, please don't do any bits while we're going. This really is just a document that we refer to in any confusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Steve, no one's going to see this unless something goes wrong.
Yeah, it's really just for clarity.
But if something goes wrong, people will see it.
Can I ask a question? Is that smoky thing a reference to something?
The mask.
Oh, like Jim smoke? Carrey.
Jim Carrey's the mask.
Smoking.
All righty. Oh,
so you're saying is the mask smoky, but you're saying is it smoky?
Smoky.
They're all facing into the...
Yeah, I know what I want. Okay, well, I want, is your mezcal got a, looks to camera, a spicy meatball?
Okay. The mezcal does not have a spicy meatball.
Flavor, like...
Oh, a spicy flavor. Okay, it actually does have a spicy flavor. Guys, I'm sorry. The characters are, it's a little confusing. I really want to answer all these questions. this is going to be a thicket to just untangle later if we have to refer back to this. So just the more clearly, any questions you have, feel free to ask them if they're genuine questions.
Is the bathroom downstairs? My character gets up and walks down the table like it's a staircase.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty.
There is actually a bathroom downstairs if anyone's interested, just so it's on the record that everyone knows that now.
Is that a Cameron on? That camera on? You can call me Cameron. Cameron. I'm like Cameron Diaz.
All right. First of all, you're not ordering anything. Second of all, why not just say Camera Diaz? It's just right there.
Well, my character bonks his head on the table and farts. Hey, can you get what? Can you take that again?
What are you do another
take it again? Start
I'm
it
not,
over.
I'm not stopping the camera. It's just one long
one. Do long it again. Loop. I don't want that out there.
I can't. I'm not able to edit in camera.
I bonked my head and farted so hard your little napkin over your little napkin tucked into your waist flew a little.
Oh, right. There's another page of drinks. Oh, as I turn the page.
I get that one. That's a great one.
Yeah,
but it's
I
useless.
Know it's Pet Detective, guys, but I'm running out. Yeah.
Ace Ventura, yeah. We save him for later because we got to get rid of the tape. I bonked my head and farted audibly.
Right,
and
you're right.
I think it's going to be okay. Would you guys like to hear about any of the specials?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Is there any bumblebee tuna?
Hey, takes a knife. Whoa. Get rid of the tape.
What?
I'm telling you to get rid of the tape. You just glossed over it like I didn't ask you three times to erase the tape.
Sir, I can't. Legally, I'm not allowed to erase the tape, but I promise you, if you get any other waiter, they're going to do the same thing. Now, if you want.
At another table. Oh, yeah, I'll erase the tape, no problem.
Oh, he's new here. He doesn't know he's not supposed to do that. All right, I'll stop the tape. I'll start a new one. Okay. I mean, really, no one's actually ordered anything yet, so it should be okay.
By the way, can I just ask you guys while he's doing this, what do you think my type is? Like, what kind of character should I do? What do you think's in my wheelhouse?
Mm-hmm. If I could just chime in again, really, don't do any characters. Just order. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them if they're genuine questions.
You have like a Steve Buscemi vibe.
I do.
Or the waiter.
No, sorry, waiter. I'll say waiter when I'm talking to you, right? No, Josh here. I think just like Steve Buscemi. What if Steve? What if he was in The Mask? Like,
that's kind of Weasley characters or hard.
Can I ask? Can you fart on cue like that? Like if you bonk your head again?
I do it every time, but I'd rather not do it.
I'm sorry. I have to ask. Does that connect to the Steve Buscemi thing?
You're not a part of this production, pal.
I apologize. You know what? Would you like me to leave and then I can come back in a few minutes after you guys have had a little bit to talk it over?
You're like the Michael Moore of Dine Cam films. You're always inserting yourself into your own dinners.
Well, I object to that on the grounds that I don't think Michael Moore ever offered to leave where the camera was. But if I've offended you, I apologize. I can get the manager. I can get you another waiter. I've already offered to start the camera, right? I don't know what else to do. I'm just trying to serve you guys.
We cut to Josh at the doctor's office. Sorry. No memory of you complaining about this fart thing that's happening to you. Sorry about that.
I've been waiting 6 months to get a prescription filled.
Yeah. I didn't know what to put for the prescription, so I just put prescription.
Oh, excuse me, doctor. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm not sure if maybe your patient just used the bathroom before, but do not go in there.
No. Oh, you're kidding me. I've been naked in here. There's a camera in the corner?
Oh, yeah. I
haven't been on this whole time.
I want to make sure we remember everything because this memory, you know, not good for doctoring, let me tell you.
I believe it. P-A-R-T-Y? Because I gotta.
Okay, all right. I mean, should I give you a prescription for better impressions?
Ouch.
We cut back to the restaurant. So do you think your friend is coming back? Or do you want to just go ahead and order now?
Yeah, we should probably go ahead and order. What do you think?
Yeah, let me just put this mask on. Wow, I would like, tequila. What kind of tequilas do you have?
He doesn't even say any of those things. He doesn't say, let me put this mask on. What are you guys getting out of this?
We see at a table across from them, there's a bunch of kids, like with little, they're a little more refined. Uh-oh. They're such sophomoric senses of humor.
Yes. Really? Waiter, I'll be having the fava beans.
Yes, fava beans for the table, please.
Yes, a little fava beans.
Hey, Robert, would you like to do one of your famous dramatic monologues?
Oh, me?
Yeah, Robert, you're so good at them. You should do one right now.
Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't possibly hear it, Forrest Gump's.
We cut to the back kitchen. Guys, my assumption when we called the place Forrest Gump's was that if anyone was going to do an impression of anything from pop culture, undoubtedly it would be Forrest Gump's. We put in the camera orders. Literally, every single customer takes it upon themselves to do really hammy impressions from just whatever random movie, always from the 90s. None of it is ever Forrest Gump, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed it's never even like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's never
even Tom Hanks. He's got a lot of movies.
Yeah, Apollo 18. You could do Philadelphia. You could do Soul.
Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
Versus the Volcano.
Turner and Hooch.
Sleepless in Seattle.
It's endless. It's endless.
Private Ryan.
Yeah. You could be like, there's no crying in
The Da Vinci Code.
Scotty. I don't know. I don't think like these people. The Da Vinci Code.
Is it the title of the restaurant then? You think we should run it by a focus group? See if they've got some ideas for a better.
There's actually a focus group that's been watching us. If you let me pull back this curtain and turn on the two-way microphone.
Oh my God, am I pregnant? All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of The Meat Improv. Thanks much for being on, Mike and Monica.
Yeah.
Good to see you all again.
Thanks for playing with us.
So where can our we're gonna go around to our plugs. Monica, where can our listeners find you or find your work?
I think Punk Season 2 comes out in a couple weeks.
On Quibi?
That's a thing, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Otherwise, Miss Monica Smith on Twitter. And then I do a solo improv show, and I'm still doing it in quarantine via Zoom. Cool. So that's around. I promote it.
What is it called again? It's just
Monica. It's my name, Monica Smith. I felt like if I named it a team name, then it would be weird to be like, who's on the team? And I'd be like, me. It's so easy to just say me.
Yeah.
I saw that before. It's really funny. Okay. Mike, what would you like to promote?
I'm at Mike Lethingwell on Twitter, and I wrote on the reboot of Johnny Test, which is a cartoon that's going to come out sometime, I think, in 2021 on Netflix. Johnny Test, which was a cartoon on Cartoon Network maybe in the 2000s. Ran for several seasons and it went away and now it's coming back.
Awesome.
Cool.
Very cool.
Jake?
Go to weimprov.org if you want to check out some workshops or twitch.tv/weimprov if you want to watch some shows.
Awesome. I'm at Josh Simpson on Twitter and Instagram. That's where I post videos and stuff. You can also go to joshsimpson.biz for other past work. And The Meat is on all the social media platforms at The Meat Improv. And we got that Patreon, patreon.com/meatimprov for our Discord channel and a weekly show called The Potatoes where Jake and I talk shop. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe out there.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time on The Meat!
The
Bobby.
Improv.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.